to the Divided Kingdom. It is July 7th, 2022. Elizabeth Covered Caverly and I, Lou Caverly, are bringing you this important program that will be carried by WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star, and KSTARTalkRadio.com. To hear our past programs and read our essays, visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com.
And now, Lou Caverly's important essay, his opening radio monologue for July 7th.
And before I give my opening monologue, there's a little follow-up to my last gun essay. From Annapolis, Hogan directs police to suspend Maryland gun carry standard. Annapolis, Governor Larry Hogan directed the state police Tuesday to suspend the state's, quote, good and substantial reason, unquote, standard for permits to carry handguns after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a similar New York law last month. Hogan said the New York law pertaining to handguns is, quote, virtually indistinguishable from Maryland law, unquote. As a result, Hogan said he was directing the Maryland State Police to immediately suspend use of the standard when reviewing applications for wear and carry permits. Quote, it would be unconstitutional to continue enforcing this provision in state law, said Hogan, a Republican. There is no impact on other permits, requirements, and protocols, unquote. And now, here's my opening radio monologue. Bleeding Kansas, July 7th, 2022. Lou Caverly.
And Lou,
yes.
I think that I'm just going to interject there a little bit with you that the New World Order will continue to make sure we have these shootings, like in Highland Park, Chicago, and it looks as though, by some analysts, this might be another MK Ultra patsy who I guess has been arrested, but we're going to have this thing going on. But the American people aren't stupid. You told me a statistic that 28% of the people in America now think they may have to fight the government one day.
And that's an amazing statistic. And you're quite right. That shooting on July 4th in the parade certainly seems to be very, very, very suspicious.
Just like the other ones at Uvalde. Well, let's hear. You have something very important tonight.
Yes. From 1850 to 2022, as a demonic Moloch stronghold of blood and...
Oh, Lou, you forgot to read your title. This is what caught my attention immediately.
Oh, okay. I'll go back over that once more. Bleeding Kansas, opening monologue, July 7th, Lou Caverly. From 1850 to 2022, as a demonic Moloch stronghold of blood and sacrifice, been holding the state of Kansas captive... Roe versus Wade has now been reversed, and every state must decide where it stands on the subject of abortion. Some states, like Missouri, have already enacted laws, or reactivated earlier laws that are still in force, to ban abortions or severely restrict them. Others, like California and New York, have promised to allow abortions almost without limit. Kansas is a special case, since it will require an amendment to the Kansas State Constitution to restrict abortions in that state. Kansas voters will be the first in the nation to cast votes on abortion rights. This called to mind events in the same region of the United States 168 years ago. At that time, in 1854, slavery was an issue that had been threatening to tear the country apart for at least a half a century. The Missouri Compromise of 1820 admitted Maine to the Union as a free state, and Missouri is a slave state. Slavery was prohibited in the region of the Louisiana Purchase, north of latitude 33 degrees, 30 minutes, a line which ran along Missouri's southern border. This cooled the tempers somewhat and remained in force for over 30 years. Thomas Jefferson wrote to a friend, quote, "The Missouri question filled me with terror. I considered it the death knell of the Union. It is hushed indeed for the moment, but this is a reprieve only, not a final sentence," unquote. During the next four decades, new regions had been settled in the West. By the 1850s, Kansas was among those areas ready to become U.S. territories, as was Nebraska. once again, the issue of slavery sharply divided the nation. The balance between pro-slavery and anti-slavery members of the U.S. Senate was at stake. In 1854, the Kansas-Nebraska Act became law in spite of intense opposition. It repealed the Missouri Compromise and provided for both Kansas and Nebraska to settle the slavery question by a vote of the citizens of that territory, not by the U.S. Senate. Hence the name Popular Sovereignty. On the surface, that seemed a reasonable choice. However, the balance of power in the United States Senate could be tipped by the outcome of the vote in Kansas. Both sides of the slavery issue decided action was needed. Within a short time, outsiders flooded into Kansas to try to sway the vote to favor or oppose slavery. Border ruffians from the South invaded the state, and free staters from the North did the same. Violence broke out in the territory. Homes and barns were burned, people were beaten, and a number were killed. Border ruffians attacked the city of Lawrence, Kansas. And, in response, abolitionist leader John Brown and seven followers killed five men at Pottawatomie Creek in May of 1856. Horace Greeley, editor of the New York Tribune, coined the term Bleeding Kansas. In December of 1859, just before he was hanged for treason, following his unsuccessful raid on the U.S. arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Brown uttered these prophetic words: "I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away, but with blood." In less than 2 years, his words had come true. The Civil War had begun. Now, in 2022, Horace Greeley's term, Bleeding Kansas, once again puts the national spotlight on that state's Moloch murder stronghold. This time, the controversy is not slavery, but abortion. In the wake of the repeal of Roe v. Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court, no doubt most citizens in Kansas would like to limit abortions there. After Roe v. Wade went into effect in 1973, demonic leftists in the Kansas Supreme Court declared their anti-abortion laws unconstitutional. They were nullified. In contrast, Missouri can immediately enforce its prior existing anti-abortion laws. The people of Kansas will have to vote this August 2nd on an amendment to their constitution to reinstate anti-abortion laws. Until the August 2nd vote, there is no law in place to restrict any Kansas woman from having an abortion in that state. Bleeding Kansas, abortion vacation. The Kansas vote will have regional and national implications. Failure to pass the amendment could make Kansas an abortion sanctuary for women from Missouri and other restricting states. Just as in 1854, the stakes are high. Those in favor of a yes vote on August 2nd to adopt the new amendment have formed the Value Them Both Coalition, VTB for short. The name of the proposed amendment is also Value Them Both. VTB warns that failure to pass the VTB amendment, the Value Them Both amendment, will change the state into another New York or California. Sacrifice of incense to the fires of Satan will proliferate. In addition, most hideous of all, late-term abortions may become widespread in Kansas. Just as in the slavery divide, both sides of the abortion debate are passionate. Neither side is about to compromise. We may not see the kind of viciousness that characterized Kansas from 1854 until the end of the Civil War, yet attacks on churches and pro-life centers have already begun. Extremist groups are enraged at the SCOTUS decision. Federal marshals had to guard some of the justices from assassination before the ruling took place. Some crazed leftists are still advocating violence against them. Once again, as in the 1850s, the Bleeding Kansas stronghold is at the climactic center of the war between God and Satan. The voters of Kansas have a chance to break that demonic grip on August 2nd. The late evangelist Henry Groover spent much of his life visiting many countries around the world. His goal was to walk around cities praying for God to destroy Luciferian control. Not just Kansas, but the whole USA needs all of our prayers, the kind of prayers Gruber made to God to reclaim our entire country. This can happen only after a spirit of deep repentance convicts every person in the land. Then God's renewal and restoration can come once more to America.
Bravo, Lou. If we were living in a different country, the old America of your youth and my childhood, I would say, oh, Lou, it's time for your second career. You've been a teacher, a great master teacher of mathematics, but you should be writing history textbooks. And I saw this years ago when I was still teaching in a little Christian school, and I was given 15 creative, sort of genius children. They were really gifted kids, and I was told by another retired educator who was a new principal there, I want you to give them a year they never forget. And so he provided an English textbook with lots of great literature in it, and we went to work. And one of these stories concerned the fur trader era, the so-called mountain men. Well, that's one of Lou's favorite historical topics. So I said, Lou, you've got to put on that great big sort of a Russian-looking fur hat and your boots, and you've got to have your leather jacket and a rustic jacket. And so he came in, and he gave a whole soliloquy about being a mountain man. And this is how successful it was. Weeks, months later, these kids would look over at me and they'd say, when is the mountain man coming back? Yes, our history is exciting, and we're now living in a time in which God Almighty has chosen to favor us with a miracle, with Roe versus Wade being overturned. And you listeners, never, never discount your prayers. We've had a little word from Fred, the longtime friend and listener who's been in back agony, and you've been praying for him. There is some improvement. There is a change on the CAT scan. And we also ask for your further prayers for Frank, who has come through open heart surgery. And, of course, our friend, the Pennsylvania doctor, that he will be in good health and he will get a better job because of his stand against the COVID aborted fetal cell derived shots. And we thank some of you who've just stepped up again. And as we said, we were so grateful that you helped us stay on the air on WWCR for July. And it's going to pass rather quickly. We will need more help for WWCR. So if you can write a check of any amount to WWCR, it would be fantastic. You can send a money order. You don't even need to fill that out. That's rather incognito. You can stuff some cash in an envelope. We're very grateful for everything that you give us, some postage stamps. We're working our way down. We will be without some maybe in about 2 weeks. You can send whatever you can, whatever God allows you to do without harming your family. If he touches your heart to help us warn the Christians, please help us. And that's to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now, Lou mentioned in his essay the necessity for America-wide repentance, a change in the hearts. Now, tonight, we're going to be checking out the state of that repentance. Is it happening, or is it sort of being held up, shall we say, by the onslaught of demonic, satanic evil? So our program is titled Summer Shocks / Secrets Part 1. Some of these shocks / secrets do date back even from last summer. LifeSite News. Pop star Pink's pro-abortion tantrum shows who our cultural elites truly are. Pop star Pink's pro-abortion tantrum. And this was June 30th by Susan Ciancio and American Life League. Pop singer Pink felt compelled to share her ignorant and misinformed remarks regarding the SCOTUS case that returned the decision about abortion to the states. She tweeted, let's be clear. If you believe the government belongs in a woman's uterus, a gay person's, an and they put sick there, which is, that was her mistake, not the journalist here, a gay person's business or marriage, or that racism is okay, then please, in the name of your Lord, never effing listen to my music again. And also, F right off. We good? She begins by talking about abortion, then throws it into things that Dobbs was not about, and ends by telling people who disagree with her to F off. Then she asks if we're good. Make no mistake, the Dobbs decision dealt only with abortion. It had nothing to do with gay rights or racism or anything else. No one on the Supreme Court is advocating for racism, but her comments and those of other Hollywood, quote, elites, such as Whoopi Goldberg in her latest rant, are meant to stir up anger. In fact, I would go so far as to say their point is to obfuscate so that people lose sight of the true meaning of the Dobbs ruling. SCOTUS did not base its decision on religion, as many people state. The justices looked at the Constitution and based their decision on the fact that there is no, quote, right to abortion in the 14th Amendment or anywhere in the Constitution. They examined the laws of the states regarding abortion when the 14th Amendment was written. They read what the Founding Fathers wrote, and they made a decision based on those facts. But those people spreading hate and vitriol do not care about the facts. They want to intimidate, threaten, and incite violence until they get what they want. This is evidenced by a growing list of disturbing actions by fanatical groups determined to show their anger. They have burned down churches. They have firebombed pregnancy help centers. They have destroyed statues. They have graffitied churches and pregnancy centers. They have spread misinformation. They have spewed vitriol. They have written threatening messages. How have we become a country filled with people who harbor so much anger, not only for the preborn baby, but for churches, pregnancy centers, and for those who want to help moms and babies? Don't people realize that by destroying these centers, they are hurting the women they claim to be advocating for? If we do not have the moral courage to articulate these truths, young people and those who easily follow will hear only half-truths and opinions, thus rendering them unable to make an informed decision.
The same leftists who threatened to kill SCOTUS members, plus Antifa, joined up with other Luciferian forces, including the Satanic Temple. Where? Bleeding Kansas? No. Depraved California? No. It was, remarkably, in Idaho, once a Christian patriot stronghold, in the days of late great patriot officer Jack McClam. The title, Sick, Pride in the Park, LGBTQ event aimed at children, seeks to perform unbaptisms in Deep Red State. This is some Natural News by J.D. Hayes, June 12th. With each passing day, the left destroys more of our culture, while Americans, too afraid to risk their own comfort, simply turn their heads and look the other way. To do so, the radical left has turned to the LGBTQ movement, essentially after creating it out of whole cloth just a few years ago, because most people are too afraid of being called a bigot to resist. And yet these creeps and weirdos are not limiting their cultural debasement to adults. They are now targeting our children, meaning if we don't fight back, by the time the current generation of kids become adults, our culture and traditions will have been destroyed forever. Case in point, sickos organized a Pride in the Park event featuring drag queens and other aberrant behaviors to perform unbaptisms on children. But this wasn't in Deep Blue California. This took place in Deep Red, Idaho, according to a report by Envolve, and that is spelled E-N-V-O-L-V-E. The event was scheduled for Saturday in the city of Coeur d'Alene and was falsely described as a, quote, family-friendly celebration of LGBTQ diversity, unquote. There is nothing family-friendly about this kind of behavior. The Satanic Temple was scheduled to be there, according to the North Idaho Pride Alliance website, in an attempt to brainwash, groom, and recruit children. TSTI, I'll make that TST Idaho, will be at Coeur d'Alene Pride in the Park event next Saturday, June 11th, from 10 to 3 p.m., tweeted one Satanist. The person added on Twitter, "We will have merchandise and performing unbaptisms for those interested. Just know, Satan loves you for you. Hail Satan," unquote. As the Idaho Tribune, Tribune's Johnston Meadows reported, quote, "Among the Satanists, there will be a plethora of LGBT speakers and performers, many of whom are drag queens. Among the sponsors, there will be an Idaho HIV, STD, and hepatitis prevention and care booth for children to learn about how gay people are at a much greater risk of contracting such diseases due to their poor life choices," unquote. Involve notes further, members of Antifa are also planning to turn up to, quote-unquote, protect members of the LGBT community from protesters and anyone who might have a problem with their kids being around Satanists or drag queens. Leftists get irate at conservatives for calling them groomers when they advocate exposing kids to drag queens, whose entire act is based on sexualized fetishes. However, at least for the Satanists who will attend the event, they have openly stated their intention to groom children for membership. The issue of using drag queens to groom children actually made national headlines recently, and not a moment too soon. A gay bar in Dallas drew widespread criticism and condemnation for hosting a drag show for kids, featuring large neon signage that read, quote, "It's not gonna lick itself," unquote. The Drag the Kids to Pride show at the Mr. Mr. Bar was advertised as a family-friendly, that's in quotes, family-friendly version of the bar's regular champagne drag brunch. According to local outlet WFAA, during Saturday's event, some drag performers danced with and took dollar bills from children. Quote, "Do you want to hit the stage with the queens?" said a promotion for the event. "We have five limited spots for young performers to take the stage solo, all with a queen of their choosing." On a high note, some Dallas residents gathered outside the club to protest what they correctly saw as a blatant attempt to groom children. And to that point, it's not at all clear why any parent would be okay with taking their children to such an event. Said one woman, who gave her name as Daisy, was holding a sign that read, "Stop grooming children." Daisy told WFAA, "I live in this community. I have for several years. I don't believe that I should be seeing signs advertising for children to be dancing on stage with men in thongs and in inappropriate clothing and makeup," unquote. And this is Lou again. Along with Satan's LGBTQ unbaptism agenda, other trends indicate Christian persecution is really getting closer in America. At the same time, Biden's woke so-called military is dismantling our national security. COVID shots have killed and weakened large numbers of our soldiers.
Yes, Lou, and we must not get discouraged about this because God is still in control. And an ex-military great friend of the Divided Kingdom radio program, and we do hope you will tell others to visit our website at DividedKingdomRadio.com, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go in and read Lou's latest essay under Breaking News. You hit it twice, you see Breaking News, then you see it again, you hit that one, you'll see his essay. And tell them to go to our listening archives there. They can hear our important programs that we have had in June and into July. This friend of the program wrote this, and we give this encouragement to all of you. "Hope your fourth still holds in your spirit as the government and reprobate minds fail the country." Very important words. I'm going to read it again. "Hope your fourth still holds in your spirit as the government and reprobate minds fail the country." How are they failing them? Yes, as Lou said, they're dismantling all the military. Here was WorldNet Daily. This was Art Moore, June 30th. 40,000 unvaccinated National Guard members set to be fired. as the deadline came Thursday for members of the National Guard to receive a COVID-19 vaccine or be expelled, a Republican senator introduced legislation to counter the Army's move. The bill was sponsored by Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, and we've said before how she stood up against the TSA, their abuse of little handicapped children in wheelchairs going through the airport. Yes, yes, we applauded her then. We applaud this. This bill, sponsored by Senator Blackburn, would ban federal funds from being used to implement the requirement, which affects up to 40,000 unvaccinated National Guard members. Blackburn told the Daily Caller that firing the members would threaten national security. Quote, "Our service members are the bedrock of America," she said. "Firing 40,000 guardsmen for refusing the COVID vaccine would be both a complete disgrace and a threat to our national security. I am honored to stand beside our National Guardsmen and women by introducing this legislation to protect them from President Biden's forever pandemic." Republican Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas, a physician, noted on Twitter that President Biden, quote, "is allowing illegal immigrants of unknown vax status to invade our country every day, but is still willing to fire up to 40,000 American heroes," end of quote. Members of the Tennessee National Guard who faced discharge spoke at a rally in Nashville on Thursday, pleading with Republican Governor Bill Lee to take action, including suing the federal government if necessary, Stars and Stripes reported.
Several dozen Guard members, their families and friends delivered a petition to Lee's office at the Capitol. Quote, "On June 30th, hundreds of your Tennessee National Guard soldiers, under an illegal, improper order by the Biden administration's Department of Defense, in defiance of natural law and the United States Constitution, are scheduled to be dismissed from service due to refusal to accept a COVID-19 vaccination," the petition states. "It is your duty before God and the citizens of the great state of Tennessee, sir, to help these men and women. Please stop them from being fired, sir." Lieutenant General John Jensen, director of the Army National Guard, said in an Associated Press interview that the military brass will, quote, "give every soldier every opportunity to get vaccinated and continue their military career," unquote. He went on, "Every soldier that is pending an exemption, we will continue to support them through their process. We're not giving up on anybody until the separation paperwork is signed and completed. There's still time," unquote. Biden press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre would not answer questions regarding the mandate and referred the Daily Caller to the Army. The Department of Defense did not immediately respond. And next we have from LifeSite News, Michigan GOP candidate Brian Kelly speaks out after FBI arrest. Christians are being persecuted. And before I read that, Elizabeth and I keep warning you, they're coming for the Christians. Remember the FBI raids with automatic weapons into a church in Tallinn, Texas?
It may have been one more than one church. It's Tallinn, Texas.
Yeah.
I think there may have been several churches.
You might be right about that.
And that was only because they were recruiting some people to come to church, some soldiers from Fort Hood.
That's exactly right. That was the excuse to bring automatic weapons into a church of all places.
Yes.
And now back to this LifeSite News story by John Henry Western about Michigan GOP candidate Ryan Kelly, July 1st, 2022. If you're still not totally convinced about the corruption of the Biden administration and its relentless campaign against political opponents, this must-see interview will blow your mind. Today, I speak with Ryan Kelly, and I shouldn't... This is Lou again speaking. I should interject that you can actually see the interview if you go to the LifeSite News website, LifeSiteNews.com.
The date again?
Date was Friday, July 1st, 2022. If you're still not totally convinced about the corruption of the Biden administration, this is a must-see interview. Today I speak with Ryan Kelly, a devout Catholic, husband and father of six, who is running to be the 50th governor of Michigan. Earlier last year, Kelly was arrested by the FBI for attending the January 6th rally in Washington, D.C. The front-runner candidate talks to me about his ongoing campaign to secure the GOP primary in August, as well as why Biden's Department of Justice, DOJ, chose to arrest him at a moment when he is leading the race in a number of polls. Kelly noted, quote, that they continue to come after anyone that they disagree with, unquote. He blasted the Biden administration's many moves to, quote, weaponize the FBI, unquote, against the people and, quote, the aiming to silence conservatives, unquote. Kelly says it's because of his Christian, pro-life, pro-family, and pro-freedom platform that he and his campaign are being attacked. I'm on God's side, he stated. I have a strong message, and I'm not scared, and I speak it clearly, strong conservative values, and it's attracting people to our message, unquote. He also describes why he attended the January 6th rally, and that he never entered the Capitol building or had altercations with police on that day. He said, I was there supporting President Trump. The fraud that happened in the 2020 election here in Michigan and many other places, we were unhappy about that process and how it turned out. He highlights how the campaign against him and others who were in the D.C. rally on January 6th is all part of a persecution against conservative Christians. Kelly, regardless, sees a silver lining in all of his trials, despite the hardships they have caused for his family. He told me that, quote, the corruption from the Biden administration, the corruption that we have at the state level here, and so much in our government is really, truly being exposed, unquote. Kelly is hopeful he will win his primary election on August 2nd and eventually defeat pro-abortion Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Despite his arrest, Kelly has seen recent polls placing him ahead of establishment candidates. Quote, since then, it has been exponential with the amount of supporters that have been activated, the ones that have reached out and support, the ones that have been on the fence, he said. Let's pray for Ryan Kelly, his wife and children, and his fight for life, family, faith, and freedom in Michigan.
Yes, Lou, this program has exposed a lot of the Jesuit conspiracy, the elements of Jesuitism that are in this so-called Marxist takeover that Biden is implementing. And I think it's very important to realize that at least at this time, LifeSite, with John Henry Weston and some other websites that are pro-Roman Catholic, they are doing good things. The Inquisition happened, and it's there waiting, possibly, to reemerge in the book of Revelation. But at this time, we have to see that there is a split within Roman Catholicism between this Jesuit ideal of chaos and Marxism, and some of the other pro-life Christians. And here's an example. It's very important. We must put this in at this time. LifeSite News, U.S. Bishop strips Jesuit school of Catholic status for defiantly flying Pride and BLM flags. And also, we have to interject again. You listeners may remember how we talked about the Jesuit roots of the CDC, that the founder of it went to a Jesuit, there was another term for it, not exploration. There was a university of sort of like experimental exploration. There's a word, maybe, Lou, you will think of what it is, but it is Marquette, Marquette University, and it was a Jesuit university. So we do see these influences. So now here, spiritually, we see this thing that shouldn't be part of any Christian religion, but here again is this title, U.S. Bishop strips Jesuit school of Catholic status for defiantly flying Pride and BLM flags. Worcester, and Lou, I didn't pronounce it right, did I?
Worcester,
Massachusetts. This is June 17th. The Catholic bishop of the Diocese of Worcester has removed the Catholic status from a Jesuit-run school after it refused to heed his orders not to fly the LGBT rainbow flag and the Black Lives Matter flag. In a decree issued June 16th, Bishop Robert J. McManus rebuked the Jesuit-run Nativity School in Worcester, Massachusetts, for ignoring his previous directives about the flying of the Pride and Black Lives Matter flags. Quote, despite my insistence that the school administration remove these flags because of the confusion and the properly theological scandal that they do and can promote, they refuse to do so. This leaves me no other option but to take canonical action, he wrote. The school, established in 2007, is for boys in grades 5 to 8 and describes itself as Roman Catholic / Jesuit. It had been flying the two flags since January 2021, and of course that would be the Pride and the BLM flags, at the desire of the students, according to the school, and replaced the flags after an unknown individual tore them down in March this year. Bishop McManus had originally written in April 2022 ordering the school to remove the rainbow and BLM flags under the threat of losing its Catholic identity. Quote, I must teach that it is imperative that a Catholic school use imagery and symbols which are reflective of that school's values and principles so as to be clear with young people who are being spiritually and morally formed for the future, he wrote. He reiterated this warning 1 month later when he wrote an open letter warning that the LGBT and BLM flags, quote, embody specific agendas or ideologies that contradict Catholic social and moral teaching. The gay pride flag represents support of gay marriage and actively living an LGBTQ plus lifestyle, wrote McManus, while the BLM movement, quote, directly contradicts Catholic social teaching on the importance and role of the nuclear family and seeks to disrupt the family structure in clear opposition to the teachings of the Catholic Church, end of quote. Until April 2020, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation had a section on its website saying that it disrupts, quote, the Western prescribed nuclear family. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and, quote, villages. Oh, Lou, where have we heard that? Hillary!
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. The BLM website previously said the group also funds LGBT organizations that contradict Catholic teaching. Given the school's insistence on flying the two flags, along with its claimed Catholic status, McManus said that such an action sends a mixed, confusing, and scandalous message to the public about the church's stance on these important moral and social issues. The article goes on then to tell how McManus invoked Canon 381, I'm not sure of the number there, but anyway, this prohibited this nativity school in Worcester from identifying as a Catholic school, and they could no longer do mass, sacraments, and sacramentals, and it was not allowed to do any fundraising that linked it with the Diocese of Worcester. So this is very important that we see some of the underbelly of the New World Order, some of the power players like the Jesuits, and now we move on. Now, of course, we are not going to keep those National Guard members who refuse vaccines. No, we're not going to protect our country, but boy, we're going to protect over in Ukraine and Poland. And we've just heard a whistleblower on the Stu Peters show tell us something horrific, that some of these young men who were fooled by the big networks like CNN and Fox, that this is a nice just war in Ukraine, and they went over as mercenaries, and they joined that Azov neo-Nazi unit, and there are reports that many of them were murdered by the neo-Nazis. So, you know, you'd better wake up. You'd better tell people to go to news sources that are telling the truth, like the Stu Peters Show and like DividedKingdomRadio.com. So now we're going to take care of making sure we get into that World War III. Here, this was July 1st, Natural News. Biden announces permanent U.S. military installation in Poland in response to, quote, threats from Russia. President Joe Biden said the U.S. will set up a new permanent military installation in Poland. Lou, that's almost right on the border of Russia, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I think it is on the border with Russia.
Alongside the deployment of other forces across Europe in response to threats from Russia. Quote, I'm announcing the U.S. will enhance our force posture in Europe and respond to the changed security environment as well as strengthen our collective security, he said during a June 29th briefing of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, at the Spanish capital, Madrid. We're going to continue to adjust our posture based on the threat in close consultation with our allies. The White House subsequently remarked that the new deployment of U.S. forces in Europe aims to support NATO and to deter any aggression against our allies. We're sending an unmistakable message, in my view, and I think yours as well. Not mine, Biden. Not yours, Lou.
No.
That's not our message. We don't want cannon fodder over there. We don't want this nuclear war provoked. Okay, Biden went on to say that this message is that NATO is strong and united. The steps we're taking during this summit are going to further augment our collective strength. We're going to make sure that NATO is ready to meet threats from all directions across every domain. We're proving that NATO is more needed now than it ever has been. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg told Biden that the increase of U.S. troops in Europe demonstrated his, quote, decisive leadership, quote, end of quote. Meanwhile, Polish President Andrzej Duda confirmed that, quote, for the first time in NATO history, there will be a permanent U.S. military presence in the form of the 5th Corps Command. He lauded the announcement as a, quote, long-awaited decision that Warsaw has lobbied for.
Aside from the permanent presence in Poland, the U.S. would deploy additional Navy destroyers to be stationed at the Rota Naval Base in Spain. Two additional squadrons of advanced F-35 fighter jets will be sent to the United Kingdom and a short-range air defense battery, alongside 65 extra personnel, will be deployed in Italy. Poland earlier turned over its fighter jets to NATO. John Kirby, spokesman for the U.S. National Security Council, told reporters during a press call that the announcements were not relayed to Moscow, as there was no requirement to do so. Incidentally, this was not the first time Poland allowed other powers to conduct military action on its soil. In March, Warsaw turned over its entire fleet of MiG-29 fighter jets to NATO and the U.S., permitting the fleet's use for air support purposes. A statement by the Polish Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the country is, quote, ready to deploy immediately and free of charge all its MiG-29 jets to the Ramstein Air Base in Germany and place them at the disposal of the U.S. government, unquote. It added,
now, Ramstein, isn't that the air base that has come under a lot of fire for molesting of children?
I believe that's the one.
That may be the one that the late Officer Jack McClam lamented, a psychiatrist there allegedly molesting his own granddaughter. This evil is all interwoven everywhere, listeners. Please pray hard. Please pray hard for people who are exposing the truth. Go ahead, Lou.
And the Polish Ministry of Foreign Affairs went on to add that Poland is, quote, ready to immediately establish the conditions of purchase of the planes, unquote. The ministry's statement also called on its other NATO allies that had MiG-29 jets to, quote, act in the same vein, unquote. It also asked Washington to provide the used aircraft with corresponding operational capabilities. State Secretary Antony Blinken said, we are looking actively now at the question of airplanes that Poland may provide to Ukraine and looking at how we might be able to backfill should Poland decide to supply those planes, unquote. Currently, lawmakers called on the Biden administration to facilitate the transfer of war funds.
Lou, didn't we hear that this backfill is amounting to $5 billion a month that Biden's administration is sending to the war in Ukraine?
I think that's accurate.
And
yes.
I said to you, million? You said, no, billion.
Yeah, with a B.
Go ahead.
Concurrently, lawmakers called on the Biden administration to facilitate the transfer of warplanes to Ukraine and other Eastern European and NATO member countries. The calls from members of Congress followed an appeal by Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky for material. And this next summer secret says danger is soon coming to your dinner table.
Yes, and Lou, before you begin this, we really do have to say again that we are concerned about this scarcity of diesel fuel oil with only two facilities, we've heard from the Health Ranger, can manufacture this, and that perhaps in about 8 weeks we're going to see a big, big disruption of trucking and everything else. And now we heard in California, the independent truckers, I think there's 70,000 of them, they have had this ultimatum given to them because SCOTUS, it does some good things finally, but it did something pretty bad. It wouldn't hear this case from these independent truckers. They are then going to be forced, if they want to do any trucking, they are going to have to join a larger organization. They can no longer be independent contractors. So what's this going to do? Be wise. Be wise. Like the Bible says, I think, in Psalms, the prudent man prepares. Get your canned food. Get whatever you need. Think about things and pray. So, Lou, let's go on. We're going to have a lot more. You're going to want to not miss every program that we have in July, because these shocks and secrets, there's so many that are just mind-blowing. Now, what about the beginning of this? Our food, it's under attack. It's poisoned.
Fake meat grown in labs might make investors rich, but it's a nightmare for human health. This is by Ethan Huff, July 1st, Natural News. The inputs used to make cell-cultured so-called meat, which can hardly be called meat at all, are so unknown in terms of their effects on the human body that it truly is a crime against humanity for the stuff to be gradually making its way into the food supply. Currently, fake meat is only available to consumers in Singapore, but there are efforts to get it into the meat cases in North America and elsewhere in the not-too-distant future.
Now, I have to interject. Perhaps a lesser evil is this stuff that Bill Gates is promoting his company, Beyond Meat. And Lou and I were looking for a healthful ice cream. Pardon me, one that didn't have corn syrup in it. And we saw another brand, and it had to do with enlightenment. That's not the exact title, but that's sort of in the title. And I should have suspected something. And so we bought this, and then later, after we had tried to eat, it was like a popsicle form, but it was dairy. I looked on the wrapper, and it was Beyond something, and that's highly suspect. We think it must be from the same group, possibly. And we really could hardly eat this thing. We threw the rest of it away. It tasted like some kind of bad milk or cream. And so we really wonder what was in this. But something even worse is coming than these substitute meat products. Now listen to what Lou tells you.
There are efforts to get this kind of fake meat into the meat cases in North America and elsewhere in the not-too-distant future. And that worries Michael Hansen, a senior staff scientist at Consumer Reports. Differing from the fake meat offered by companies like Impossible Foods, lab-cultured meat involves the use of bioengineered proteins to artificially induce undifferentiated animal stem cells into differentiating into muscle tissue, explained Martha Rosenberg, writing for The Defender. Quote, this is done in bioreactive vats, similar to those used to make beer, unquote. It is a promising industry for wealthy fat cats like Bill Gates and Sir Richard Branson, who stand to become even more obscenely wealthy than they already are from lucrative investments. But it is a nightmare for human health, as nobody knows what lab-cultured meat really does to the body. In order to make lab-cultured meat, Hansen said, recombinants or manipulated DNA segments must be inserted into the biopsied flesh of animals. And the end product has never actually been tested for nutritional content, as academics have never received a single sample for testing. And then we have more gruesome details about the making of this Frankenfood. This was also by Ethan Hoth on June 24th. Lab-cultured GMO-laden fake meat is a toxic abomination to be avoided at all costs. It was never enough just to tamper with your produce and grains. The biotechnology industry is now setting its sights on replacing all meat with genetically engineered imposters, too. Beef, poultry, fish, and dairy products are all on the chopping block as the architects behind the Great Reset shift society away from real, nutritious food and straight into lab abominations from hell. Using technologies like synthetic biology and precision fermentation, mad scientists are concocting cultured, quote-unquote, meat synthetics, along with other cell-based and gene-edited parodies of real food. Transitioning to cultured meat, made from animal cells grown in a petri dish, is a great reset goal for the global food industry, warns Dr. Joseph Mercola. And he goes on to say, the aim is to control populations by creating dependence on private companies that control the food supply, end quote. The Wellcome Trust co-founded what is known as the EAT Forum. That's its name, the EAT Forum, which developed a concept called the Planetary Health Diet.
Was that EAT Forum or Farm?
Forum, F-O-R-U-M.
Oh, Forum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they developed this concept called, and this is its name, the Planetary Health Diet, that will be forced on the global population, at least that which remains following the Great Falling. I guess that's accurate. That doesn't quite...
Oh, perhaps. Does that have F-A-L-L-I-N-G?
F-U-L-L-I-N-G. Well, I'm not sure about that.
Yes, we're not sure what they mean by that.
And Mercola further explains, quote, it entails cutting meat and dairy intake by up to 90% and replacing it largely with foods made in the laboratories, along with cereals and oil. Aborted baby cows are used to create fake cell-based meat. And let's see, I believe I have a continuation of that here.
I think you do.
We are almost there as our society has been drenched in toxic industrial seed oils and so-called plant-based foods, which contain no animal fats. These processed food products contain high levels of linoleic acid, LA, which is now understood to be a primary driver of chronic disease. None of this would be possible without private central banks and the fraudulent stock market pumping up these endeavors with endless fiat cash infusions, by the way. The, quote, investments, unquote, that go into creating fake meat do not reflect what actual humans want, but rather what the powers that be want for all of humanity, except for themselves, of course, assuming the globalists are even really human. The really disturbing part is that many of these toxic lab-centric foods, and foods is in quotes, are being marketed as natural. Plant-based has become part of the healthy eating vernacular, although it represents the opposite of real health. And here we have a quote. It seems that even with all the smarts and savvy in the natural product community, we have failed to understand that we are being targeted by a coordinated global campaign to force the adoption of synthetics in natural channels, warned Alan Lewis, Vice President of Advocacy at Natural Grocers. And I think this is also a quote from him. The campaign is a spawn of the notorious GMO lobby, now emboldened and backed by technology moguls. And we have one more, a continuation. Under the program, explained Rosenberg, a company simply tells the FDA its product is safe, based on the company's own documentation, and bypasses the public comment process. Neltner would prefer to see such products have to be approved using a food additive petition, which includes a right to challenge. But time will tell how the FDA handles this emerging industry. Wrote a commenter at the Defender magazine, wouldn't touch this fake crap with a 10-foot pole. Poison, just like the jabs. No thanks. We pass on both. And it says more related news coverage can be found at frankenfood.news. Frankenfood.news.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a little more on that?
Now we have something on the CRISPR technology.
Okay, I think that, what is yours labeled, 3B?
No, 4.
No, there's a little bit more here.
Right.
There, nobody said I doubt the technology will work on your paper you have.
No.
Okay. So I think that we're continuing this, probably this same article, and who was the person who wrote that? Ethan Huff at Natural News?
Let me check that. I believe that's accurate. Yes, it was.
I think so. Now,
yeah.
Here's like a little inner headline he has. There won't be anything left that's natural once these demons get finished tampering with the entire food supply. And, you know, we're going to pick up this story right where we are next program about the food supply, about the CRISPR technology. And let's just say here, when Lou was reading about the cell culture, the way it was explained to us, they slash into the mother cow, into the fetal sac where the little calf is, and that's where they draw out these stem cells out of that little fetus. Does that seem gruesome to you listeners? It certainly seems like, again, what Lou called the Moloch stronghold. America taken over as a murder capital. A murder capital and a capital that harms children, grooms them. The elite are doing this. They are doing this to children, possibly sacrificing them. So do pray. Pray to God. Pray to Jesus Christ that this evil will continually be exposed and that repentance will come to all the people here in America, the families who care. They must see that abortion was an evil. You know, we talked to someone, we were rather shocked. We said, oh, aren't you so happy that Roe versus Wade is gone? There was silence. This was a Christian person. Silence. No, we can't be double-minded and be working for the Lord. We have to repent. And we ask you again to help us. Send anything that you can send to us to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, remember those words from that retired veteran. Hope your force still holds in your spirit as the government and reprobate minds fail the country. Possibly they're killing people. We heard Erin Elizabeth on Stu Peters talk about since 2015, over 100 holistic doctors over the United States have died mysterious death. That's not the country I want to live in. And Carrie Madej and her boyfriend were in an airplane crash. It looks like it was tampered with. Pray for them to live and be healed. Carrie Madej, God bless you and protect you and your family. Good night.